So a good morning again to everyone. I today wanted to speak about not being uncomfortable when you daven, but rather being uncomfortable in mitzvot. How uncomfortable do you have to be in order to do mitzvot? Is it possible to say, well, if it's going to make me uncomfortable, I'm not going to do the mitzvah, whatever it might be, from drinking wine at the Seder night, to eating matzah, to going and blowing shofar, whatever it might be, if it's uncomfortable, I don't have to do it, versus a point of view that says, with due respect to your being uncomfortable, get over it and do the mitzvah. So you have the source sheet in front of you, Bruce?
Yes.
Pardon? Okay, good. Okay, so let's begin. Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Good. So,
quick question.
Yes, quick question.
Does it matter whether you are the only Jew in like an environment that's very not friendly? College campus or somewhere, I don't know, or in the army, or is it just, it makes you personally uncomfortable, nothing to do with the outside world?
No, here we're talking about, okay, that's a separate shear in and of itself. What happens when you look strange in the eyes of the beholder? We're not talking about that this morning. What we're going to speak about this morning is when you personally are uncomfortable. Okay? I'll just paraphrase it to make it very clear. You can drink wine at the Seder, but you have a terrible headache the next day. All right? You can eat matzah at the Seder, but you'll be constipated for the next 7 days. Do you still have to do the mitzvah or not? Yes, Harold? We'll get to it, but sukkah seems, in my opinion, to be the exception to the rule, because there is a din of mitzta'er pato min sukkah, which does not necessarily exist in other mitzvot, but you'll see this morning that may not be so. So the Gemara in the Nedarim on the right side of your source sheet says a very interesting story. Amra hi mitur nita l'Rabbi Yehuda. A woman said to Rabbi Yehuda, a non-Jewish woman, More Rava, you look drunk. You know, he looked pale. He looked off. He looks drunk. That's a nice way to start, you know. We always have to have salutations, Arthur. Hi, Arthur. You look drunk. Amarla. Hey, matata biyada da havayitata. I promise you, my dear woman. Im ta'imna ela akidushta va'avdaltata va'arba kase de pascha ve'chorgani tzidayim min ha'pesach va'adatzeret. I can promise you. I drink the wine at Kiddush and Avdallah only. And the 4 cups of wine on the night of the Seder. And after I drink the 4 cups of wine, which is more than my usual, I am pale, sick, from Pesach till Shavuos. So what do we learn from this Gemara? That Rabbi Yehuda, despite being very uncomfortable, sick from Pesach to Shavuos, he still did the mitzvah of Arba Kosot. And this is not just in the Bavli, this is in the Yerushalmi as well. Not Rabbi Yehuda, but Rav Yona. Rav Yona in the Yerushalmi says, and I quote, Kad have shote arba kasa de pascha have chazek rashe ad chaga. Same idea. He drank the 4 cups of wine at the Seder and he had to hold his head. His head had a headache until chaga, which probably means in this case, sukkis. So we see from here that despite the fact that you're uncomfortable, you still have to do the mitzvah of Arba Kosot. And I'm assuming that's the case in all mitzvot. So, Pikuach Nefesh is Doche Kol HaTorah Kula. We know that. Beyond that, if you're a Chole She'ein Bo Sakana, namely you're bedridden, you have a flu, then you're putter from certain mitzvot, not from all. For example, Amira La'akum is allowed on Shabbos. But, if you're a third degree under that, not pikuach nefesh, not a chol hashein basakana, but we usually call in halacha mechush be'alma, you have a headache, you have a cold, you may be uncomfortable, you're still obligated in all mitzvot. Gemara and Bavli, and Yerushalmi, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yona. Despite it, there is a Gemara in Shabbos, which is maybe not a real halachic Gemara, maybe in a Gadita, but I think it's important to quote, because Rav Ovadia quotes it as a source. V'amarav bar machsia, amarav chama bar guya, amarav on the left side. Kol choli, velo choli me'ayim. You can be sick, but not sick in your stomach. You know, you have a cold, not so bad, but stomach bad. Kol ke'ev, v'lo ke'ev alev. Pains are okay, but not chest pains. Chest pains are dangerous. Kol mechush, pains of sorts are okay, v'lo mechush rosh, but not a headache. A headache can mean, God forbid, you're on a way to a stroke, say. So, says Rav Uvadja, the havi kochovo ba'atzmo shu asur min haTorah. Because if you go ahead and do something that gives you a headache, it's like you're hurting yourself. And just like you're not allowed to hurt others, you're not allowed to hurt yourself. Kamo shekatav b'shut haRashba, v'chen katav b'Beit Yosef b'shem haRan. My problem is, before this shir, I looked for this Rashba and the Beit Yosef and couldn't find anything. Not in the Rashba and not in the Beit Yosef quoting this. So therefore, I don't know where it is, but suffice it to say that a headache is very, very critical in the eyes of Chazal. So maybe you don't have to give yourself a headache in order to mekayim a mitzvah. More than that, the Rosh. The Rosh. Yes.
Okay. Is it okay to follow the Torah, or they let it add it on later?
I couldn't hear the question. Who added on what? I can't understand.
He said Arba Koso.
Arba Koso, it's a mitzvah de Rabbanon. It's not from the Torah.
That's what I want to know.
De Rabbanon. And despite it all, you have to get a headache according to the Bava, the Gemara and Nidarim and the Yerushalmi. And yet in Shabbos, they're very, very careful about it. More than that, the Rosh quotes another Yerushalmi that I, again, could not find. Rabbi Yochanan lo havi manach tefillin ena mi pascha le pascha. Rabbi Yochanan would only put on tefillin once a year, Erev Pesach. V'chazichazik roshem mi pascha v'ad atzeret. And again, it hurt him so much that he had to hold his head from Pesach till Shavuos. And the Rosh explains, because he had some sort of a head injury, and therefore he only was allowed to put on tefillin once a year. So again, we see from here that despite the fact that it's not pikuach nefesh, a mitzvah to oraisa, tefillin, is pushed away because you're uncomfortable. So as you can see, we have different sources in Chazal. Some say you don't have to make yourself sick or uncomfortable to do a mitzvah, and some say you have to. The problem is, the sources I quoted on the left side of the page, one is quasi-halachic, and the other I just can't find. So I'm not so sure where these sources are. But the Gemara Nedarim, the Gemara and the Yerushalmi Shkalim, we know. And therefore it's not surprising that the Rashba, as well as the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that even if you're uncomfortable, you have to do the mitzvah, say, of Arba Kosol. I'll just quote the Shulchan Aruch, Misha Inosho Teyayin, Bipnesha Misiko Son O. A person that does not usually drink wine because he doesn't like it, or because it hurts him. Not hurts him, Pikuach Nefesh, not puts him in bed, but makes him uncomfortable. Paskin's the Shulchan Aruch, Tzarik Lichtchok Atzmo. So we see from the Shulchan Aruch clear that despite the fact that it makes you uncomfortable, you have to do the mitzvah. So, we're going to see in a moment. So despite the Shulchan Aruch saying this, I believe that this is one of the many examples in Halacha where you can't just read a Shulchan Aruch and go home. Namely, you can't say, oh, the bottom line is, you have to, so tell everyone they have to. As Jeffrey pointed out, there are different degrees of uncomfortability. Excuse my English, Jeffrey. Uncomfortability means different things for different people. It can mean, all right, I have a little headache, but I'm able to function. On the other hand, there are people that suffer from migraines. Migraines puts you in bed. That's not just a headache you take an ibuprofen and other stronger medicines and you feel better. Okay? We're talking about something that can put you in bed. So there are degrees of uncomfortability in halacha and in life. More than that, we're going to see that despite the fact that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, what he does, it's not like, this is it, tell everyone to be uncomfortable. You have to look at the responsa literature after the Shulchan Aruch and before to see how is this practiced halacha lemaise. Because as I said many times around this table, When you read the Shulchan Aruch, everything works out. It's like mathematics. 1 + 1 always equals 2. Right? You get up in the morning, you wash your hands, you go to shul, you come home. All of a sudden, when life meets the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't work that way necessarily. You got up this morning, we couldn't go to shul, the shuls are closed. We had to daven in a minyan. It's beautiful weather this week, unlike last week. And yet, we have to wear a mask. And we have to wear a mask. All of a sudden, we're davening Shmoneh Esrei, a car comes by. Do you move? Don't you move? When you read the Shulchan Aruch, it's simple. You put your feet together. You daven a Shmoneh Esrei, you take 3 steps back. When life meets the Shulchan Aruch, things can change. And therefore, when you read a bottom line like this, Tzarich litchok atzmo, v'lishtot, l'kayem mitzvot arba kosot, you have to see how is this practiced by poskim in response to literature throughout the generations. Now, if you turn the page, you're going to see what Jeffrey mentioned earlier, namely, that there's different degrees and there's different subjectivity involved in practicing this law. So let's turn the page and see how it is. Everybody ready? Let's begin. Tzvi, you with us? A mazel tov on the birth and the family. Many, many more in health and in happiness. Amen. Healthy simcha sounds great. And in that order. Rav Yosef Mihuchstadt was a Rishon at the tip end of the Rishonic period. A Talmud of the Truma Sadeshen, Rav Yisrael Isserlin. His year is 1420 to 1490. So we're talking about 100 years before the Shulchan Aruch. And he writes as follows. Like Jeffrey mentioned up. You know, uncomfortable, but not weakening you so much for that Rabbi Yehuda we saw in Rav Yona in the Yerushalmi. Aval mishan afshon asa anusha. But whoever goes into bed because of it, you don't do the mitzvah if indeed it puts you into bed. And indeed, going on in history, we see the same thing by the Maharam Shik. Who was the Maharam Shik? Have you heard the name before? The Maharam Shik? We're talking about a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, so we're getting close to the 20th century, many years later. His year is 1807 to 1879. He was one of the big fighters against Reform Jews following his Rebbe, the Chasam Sofer. And he writes, Misha Sakana le'echol matzo maror, pashut sheino rashai le'echol. Whoever gets into danger, of course, bikuach nefesh, but chol shenehena mimenu b'shata, whoever enjoys the taste of matzah or enjoys the cup of wine, afal gav shelachar zman miziklo, even though a day later he's going to have a hangover and be constipated, after all, he enjoyed it. Mikra achila v'shtila v'im kein, imen bo chashash sakana afilu miziklo, shapir mechuyav lechol. So basically, according to these two poskim, if indeed you are uncomfortable, you have to do the mitzvah. Only if it's a sakana, and maybe, according to Rav Yosef Mihuchstadt, the Talmud of the Truma Tadeshen, uncomfortable plus puts you in bed, then maybe not. But outside of that, you have to do the mitzvah. So, take an example, someone that's celiac, shouldn't eat any wheat-based, grain-based product. Should he eat matzah on the Seder night? Yes or no? As you can see here, if it's just going to make him uncomfortable, he has to eat it. If it's going to put him into bed, something to talk about, but suffice it to say that according to the Maharam Shik, afilu mezik lo, shapir mechuyav lechol. The Mishnah Berurah says regarding drinking wine at the Seder, shemitzta'er b'shtiyato b'koev harosh mizeh, ve'en b'chlal b'zeh, namely, according to the Mishnah Berurah, it goes on, if you're uncomfortable, you have to do it. Only if it puts you into bed, you don't have to. So, we see from these particular poskim that if you're uncomfortable, you have to do mitzvot. Maybe the only mitzvah you don't have to do is the mitzvah of sukkah, because mitzta'er pater min hasukkah. And indeed...
One question before you go on.
Yes.
Up a little bit,
yeah.
Where is the line drawn between maziklo and sakana?
He says very simply, if it's maziklo, you have to do it. Sakana means you're in danger. You're pikuach nefesh, as we say in proper English. A chole sheyesh bo sakana is putter from all mitzvot, dead giveaway. That's what he says. No mitzvah. But maziklo, it hurts you. All right. You know, it's like a vegetarian. When you say it to a vegetarian, do you eat meat? No. What about on Shabbos? I get onik Shabbos from tofu. What about Yontif? I get Simchas Yomtov from other things. Fine. What about the Korban Pesach? So a frum vegetarian would say, I'll put a nose pin on my nose, and I'll take a pill against nausea, and I'll eat my kezayit. That's basically the Maharam Shik and the Mishnah Berurah. Okay? I'll just add that Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Damo, he was killed by the Nazis in 1941. Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Talmud of the Mishnah Berurah, Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, he says that in the Tshuvas Gaonim we're about to see, it seems to say that just like by Sukkah, Mitzdar Patam in a Sukkah, so too in all mitzvahs. He says, what do you mean? According to that, you don't ever have to do any mitzvah. Any mitzvah. Why? Because you're always guarding your health. So according to that, let's now eradicate all mitzvot, because osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, plus mitzdayer patur min ha-mitzvot, and we're finished. So obviously he says that's not the case. Now, going on, going back, we'll see that this is not totally unanimous in all poskim. The Tshuvas HaGeonim, indeed I just quoted, said, Sukkah is a prototype for all other mitzvot. Chole she'eino yachol lihitpalel. You ever took a day off, you're sick in bed, and it's time to daven mincha, and you have to like get out of bed and daven? Says the Tshuvas Geonim, Yikra Kriyat Shema, Yitpalel, Afilu Miyushav, daven, even if you're going to sit down. We learned that many times, that in certain circumstances, you don't have to stand up for the Amida. Even though it's called the Amida, you don't have to stand up.
Airplane,
for example. But, Im Kaved Alav Acholi, Hu Misham Shav Pturin, De Garmi Ala Misukah, De Cholo Misham Shav Pturim, Mitztarehu, and Putter. So the Tshuvas HaGeonim, this is very ancient, says that if you're sick, that it's very difficult for you even to daven sitting down, you're Putter from davening, and so are the people that are attending to you, Putter from davening, just like by Sukkah. So Sukkah, Mitzvah D'Oraisa, is not limited to Sukkah, but it's a general rule in halacha. Mitztayer is putter from mitzvot. So we do mitzvot when we're healthy and when we're well, and not when we're uncomfortable. Going on in history, we get to the Radbaz. The Radbaz wrote a perush on the Rambam. We're talking about the end of the Rishonic period, beginning of the Achronic period, 15th, 16th century. And he mentioned something that you all know about. One of the misnomers in halacha. Every year someone calls and says, I couldn't get a haircut before Pesach. And now we're getting to Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and I woke up in the morning, by golly, my hair is very long. It's like, what? Sfira's not on the calendar any year. You didn't know how to prepare for this. But, by golly, my hair is long. So it's Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Aleph Iyar. Now, why do I say Aleph Iyar and not Lamed Nisan? Anyone? Because Lamed Nisan, even if it is also Rosh Chodesh, according to one of the two Minhagim of Sfira, Sfira Minhagim of not getting a haircut didn't start yet. So there you could be Mekel. But now we're Rosh Chodesh. Aleph Iyar. Rosh Chodesh, Aleph Iyar. There, both of the Minhagim synchronize. And according to all, whether you're mourning for the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, or mourning for the Crusades and whatnot, everyone agrees it's time of Avelus. So can you get a haircut? Says the Radbaz. Everyone ready? Ana avidin uvda benafshe. I, the holy Radbaz, do this. V'ani mistaper. Kol chodesh nisan v'rosh chodesh iyar. I get a haircut during Nisan and on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Aleph Iyar. V'cheina hagu rov ha'olam, and that's what most people do. So even though the Shulchan Aruch Paskin's against this, he says it's okay for two reasons. One is local, which is not going to be our concern today, and one is general. Tu ikatam, the ikatsar begidul asear lemi sheragil lehi staper. So if you're not a nazir and you don't grow your hair for your whole life, then when you don't get a haircut, you feel uncomfortable. You get up in the morning, you look at the mirror, or you're going to shave, you look at the mirror, you look like a schlump. It doesn't put you into bed. It doesn't put you into pikuach nefesh. What does it make you? The U word? Uncomfortable! Uncomfortable! That's it? Uncomfortable? Uncomfortable? Good enough. Why? Because mitzvah pata from a sukkah, all the more so from a minhag. So, we see that in a mitzvah d'oraisa of kriyat shema, in a mitzvah minhag of sfira, if you're uncomfortable, according to these poskim, you don't have to do the mitzvah. Moving on.
I'm sorry, Rabbi Wesley, but isn't sfira different? Because aren't there like different shittos is when you begin the restrictions?
Yeah, we're talking about the time of sfira, where everyone agrees it's a time of Avelus. From Rosh Chodesh, Iyar, Aleph, Iyar, and on.
Okay.
And even there, he says, if you're uncomfortable, you can get a haircut. This year, by the way, it was used, because many people, because of Corona, couldn't get a haircut, couldn't get out of the house before Pesach. And therefore, uncomfortable. So that's a minhag. You could say uncomfortable minhag. But we see in a mitzvah d'oraisa kriyat shema, in a pure mitzvah d'rabbanan of davening, the Tshuvas HaGaonim said, you're uncomfortable, you don't have to do it. Unlike other poskim. The Besamim Rosh. Have you heard of the Besamim Rosh? This is like the breach of copyright of all centuries. A gentleman by the name of Rav Shaul Berlin, his years, 1740 to 1794, came out with a manuscript saying, I found the shoot, the responsum of the Rosh, of Rabbeinu Asher. It turned out to be one big lie. There was not a manuscript of the Rosh, it was his own manuscript. We actually today do have the responsum of the Rosh, but he called it Besamim Rosh. It happened to be Rav Shaul Berlin. So today in halacha, in the halachic world, there's two schools of thought. One school of thought said, because he was a liar, don't even look at his books. And the other point of view said, why not quote him? It's solid. Just say, it's not the Rosh, it's Rav Shaul Berlin. So I'm going to quote him as Rav Shaul Berlin today. Rav Shaul Berlin says something, in my opinion, a bit radical, but you saw the Tshuvas HaGaonim, and you saw the Radbaz, it doesn't seem to be far-fetched. He says, Rabbi Yochanan midat chasidut hu de'avid, da ha-Torah l'chaim nitna ve'en zedar kei noam. He basically says that what we see in the Gemara, that they drank wine and they got a headache, that's a midat chasidut. Halachically, if you're uncomfortable, you're putter. The old, the hanami mitzvah gdola lahavrot gufol mikol choli. You ultimately have to be healthy. It's a mitzvah. The osek b'mitzvah putter min a mitzvah. So if you don't drink wine to stay healthy, if you don't go out to a minyan in order not to get a cold, if you don't go ahead and, I don't know, sit in the sukkah in order not to have to put on a winter coat and sweat, all that, osek b'mitzvah, putter min ha-mitzvah. So any time in life that you're taking care of your health, you're putter for mitzvah. The only time you have to do mitzvah is when everything is hunky-dory. If you're uncomfortable, you don't have to do it. He's not alone. The Shut Binyan Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Lev from Vilna, he died in the beginning of the 20th century. So Rav Shlomo Lev from Vilna, who was a dayan in Vilna, okay, I believe he was one of the editors on the Vilna Shas, I could be wrong, okay? When the Ach and the Achim Rome put out the Vilna Shas, he was one of the editors. And if I'm not mistaken, he was the one that because of his Litvish Hebrew, there are mistakes in the Vilna Shas that don't exist in any other place. Why? Because as you know, by the Litvox, every shin is a what? A sin. So we mispronounce words, and then we have something like a samich in the Vilna Shas, and we don't understand. The word doesn't read straight. It turned out because he was a Litvish, and he spoke that way. I think this is the same gentleman. So what does he write? He writes very simply. What's the reason for all of this? Because we have an ironclad rule in halacha. You don't have to lose all your money in order to do a mitzvah asei. In order not to do a prohibition, you have to lose all your money. But a mitzvah asei, you don't have to do that. So because of that, there's rules and regulations how much money you have to put out for an esrog, and buying a sukkah, and buying Hanukkah candles, etc. So says Rav Shlomo Lev from Vilna, and the Shut Binyan Shlomo, that according to that, you don't have to put yourself in an uncomfortable position for a positive mitzvah. Because a person usually cares more about his body than his money. So if for his money there's rules and regulations how much you have to put out, or the more so, how uncomfortable do you have to be to do mitzvot? So as you can see, you have now 1, 2, 3, 4 poskim that say you don't have to be uncomfortable to do a mitzvah. The Avnei Nezer doesn't just talk about this regarding mitzvot in general, or minhagim, he talks about it, a very important mitzvah. And which mitzvah is that? Bris Milah. A person was born, and one of his bones is crooked. And the doctor said that if he does an operation before the bris, then he can straighten out the bone. If it's after the bris, he won't be able to straighten out the bone. So, if you ask me, I'd say, all right, so the kid will be a little handicapped, but he can walk. So he'll be a little crooked. There's many people I know that walk crooked. Many people I know have crooked noses. What's the big deal? You'll be uncomfortable. But a mitzvah aseh with karet, bris milah on the 8th day, would override it. Says the Avnei Nezer, the Sachach of a Rebbe, the author of the Eglei Tal, he says, nothing doing. He says that if you have to do the operation before the 8th day, and the 8th day of the bris will be put off, do the operation. Or as he calls it, the operatia. Why do you do the operatia, the operation? The mitzvahs aseya no mechuyav lebazbez alav hon rav. Because like in any other mitzvah, there's a limit how much money you have to put out. Or the more so, how much do you have to suffer your entire life from being crooked due to a mitzvah dase? And he believes it's too much. Too much. So do the operation and put off the bris, even though high stakes here. This is a mitzvah deoraisa. And just to finish off, comes along the Shulchan Aruch and says, regarding someone sitting shiva, amongst the many things he can't do, is to wash himself, his whole body. Says the Shulchan Aruch, v'chein man de'itle irbuvia bereshe, if a person is scratching his head, he wants to take a shampoo, mutar lachof rosho bechamin, he can take a hot shower of his head with hot water, the logari mi istinus, an istinus who's very uncomfortable, can wash himself during Shiva, all the more so this guy who's sitting there and scratching his head. The mutar lechotz kul gofo. The imamar istinus ani mitirin lo. Why? Kim lo yirchatz yitzta'er harbe. So you could see, sitting Shiva, and iser de rabbanon to wash yourself. You're uncomfortable, you can wash yourself. I believe many people today sitting Shiva, they don't take a long shower, but a short shower. In the morning or in the evening, maybe not hot water, lukewarm water, but just to wash themselves, says the Shulchan Aruch, as long as you're suffering, good enough. So as you can see, despite the Shulchan Aruch's assertion that you have to litchok atzmo, to drink arba kosot, even if you get a headache, we see that in the response to literature, there's two schools of thought. The one school of thought, led by the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshen, the Maharam Shik and the Mishnah Brura, says that if it doesn't bring you sakana, and according to some, doesn't put you in bed, you have to do mitzvot. Uncomfortable is not a good excuse not to do mitzvot. But, on the other hand, you have many poskim that say that uncomfortable is good enough. Because, just like you don't put out too much money for mitzvot, there's a limit. There's a limit how uncomfortable you have to be. And as Jeffrey said, it's going to be very subjective. And therefore, when people ask me these questions, like, I'm celiac, it won't kill me, should I eat matzah? I can drink wine at the Seder, but it's going to give me a very bad headache for 2 days. I don't really ever know what to answer them, because I believe it's very subjective. You have poskim on both sides. And I guess it all comes down to how sick are you going to be? Meaning, what's the damage going to be done? And I always ask them, if it wasn't your body, but your money, how much money would you be willing to spend And that's what I believe it comes down to based on the methodology of the Avnei Nezer and Rav Shlomo Lev from Vilna. And therefore, I believe on this question, it's very hard to come to a conclusion, and I'll just end with a question that's going to come up this year, like every year, but this year for everyone. What do I mean this year for everyone? We have a very interesting situation that on Purim, we eat and we drink a lot and we eat a lot. And the day before Purim, we don't eat and we don't drink. We have a fast day followed by a feast day. Thus the common joke. They tried to kill us. Tanit Esther. They didn't succeed. Purim, let's eat. Well, what do we do when the two coincide? We get to Ma'ariv on the night of Purim. We didn't eat all day. Do we read the Megillah first or do we eat first? The halacha is you should read the Megillah first because you're not supposed to eat before you do a mitzvah. That's all very nice and good, but what happens if a person is very, very weak? Not in bed, not pikuach nefesh, but weak. You know, can't concentrate to hear the Megillah on the night of Purim. And this year, it's for everyone, because in other years, Yerushalayim read the Megillah a day later, so they've eaten all day. But this year, everyone's going to read the Megillah on Yud Dalid at night, because it's Purim Mishulash. Purim comes out on Shabbos in Yerushalayim. So, amongst the many challenges this year, this is challenge for the Yerushalmim. They'll have to ask us how we do it every year. Shulchan Aruch says, Mishuhu anus ktsat. What's anus ktsat? A little uncomfortable. Ve'ino yechol alechet lebeit ha-knesset, he can't go to shul. Ve'etzarich lahamtin achar ad achar shekaruah kahal. And he has to wait till someone comes to his house to read the Megillah for him. Why do I say this year? Because with Corona still in full force, I don't know how Purim's going to look. We can't have 100, 200 people in shul. So we're probably going to have a lot of people reading Megillahs for a lot of people at different times. So, you know, you can't go to shul. You're in bidud. You're in isolation. You're in quarantine. Someone's going to come to your window to read the Megillah. But only after the minyan in shul, it's going to be 7:30, 8, 9 o'clock at night. Do you have to wait and not eat? Says the Shulchan Aruch. You're uncomfortable? Read the Megillah early on Tanis Esther, Plaga Mincha, and then you can break your fast right on time. Now, reading from Plaga Mincha means you're reading it early on Tanis Esther. That's a heter that's questionable. But says the Shulchan Aruch, if you're uncomfortable, we're going to use this heter. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Ve'imu Adam Chalush, Ve'hashiyah Yazik Libriyuto. If you're a weak person and it's going to hurt you, not pikuach nefesh, but very uncomfortable, v'yachol avol liyadei choli, and you can come to be sick eventually, v'ti'ima me'at eino maspik lo, and just eating a small chocolate bar won't work, you can have a whole meal. The Rama, on the other hand, on the right side, doesn't go that far. He says in the name of the Truma Sadeshin, we started the shir with his Talmid, aval asur lechol kodim shishma kriyas ha-megillah. Don't eat before the Megillah, even if the fast is hard on you. So as you could see, there's no conclusion on this. Rama, even if the fast is hard on you, you can't eat before you read the Megillah. Mishnah Berurah, together with the Shulchan Aruch, says, many a teirim on Tanit Esther, if it's difficult to get through the Megillah reading, fasting. So I don't have a good answer as to when yes, when not. When people ask me these kinds of questions, it makes me uncomfortable. I always start from the beginning. Is it pikuach nefesh? If so, the answer is simple. No. Does it put you in bed? No. I just walk around. It's uncomfortable. In these situations, I don't think there's a conclusion in halakha. It's going to be very subjective. And as Jeffrey says, how uncomfortable are you? So I don't want you to come out of this shir saying, all right, we have heterim anytime we're uncomfortable not to do a mitzvah. So, you know, I'm going to get up in the morning before Zman Kriyat Shema. I am tired, so I'm going to go back to bed. Forget about Kriyat Shema. I'm uncomfortable because I'd like to sleep late. I don't know if that's a valid reason not to say Kriyat Shema. But if a person came off a flight, got home at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you wake him up at 8 o'clock saying Zman Kriyat Shema, maybe the uncomfortability is to the second power. It may be different that particular day. So the first thing I say is, it is subjective. And number two is, not for your whole life. You can't go ahead and say, well, my whole life I'm uncomfortable waking up in the morning, so therefore I'm never going to daven Shachris on time, I'm never going to say Kriyat Shema on time. That, I believe, can't be, because that basically, according to that, you can throw out all mitzvot and you'll never have them. So, how uncomfortable do you have to be? It's subjective. Levels of uncomfortability, excuse my English. And number two, not for your whole life. Hope the shiur was clear. Be'ezrat Hashem, we will continue next week as we edge towards Rosh Chodesh Adar with another topic that I believe is extremely germane before we get into Purim, and that is, when does davening end? Does davening end at Kabbis Tiskabel? Does it end at Aleinu? Does it end at Shir Shoyo? When do we say bye-bye Shul? Bye-bye God, I'll see you later. God willing, stay tuned for next week. Pardon? Say again? Didn't hear the joke. Ezrat Hashem, I hope we're never uncomfortable, but it could happen, and if it does, there's what to talk about.
Excellent.
All right, have a good day, everyone. Take care.